Hey neighbors, it's Chris, and today I'm sharing a story I like to call, It Could Mean More Than You Know. Welcome to the good all around us.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Deanna.
It is so nice to have a weekend with literally nothing on our calendar.
I agree.
How did that happen?
I don't know. And how can it happen more?
What did we do to make this occur?
Oh, I mean, we're free. We're like free. We have no obligations.
I know. We can like do what we want. Choose.
That's scary.
Choices.
Oh.
Endless possibilities.
All the things are running through my head right now.
I'm sure. Nap.
No.
Nap some more.
No. I'm not a napper. I'm on a 30-day quest, neighbors, to not nap.
Yes. You're dedicated to not napping.
Yes.
And I have introduced you to definitives.
Yes.
Like, I don't nap.
Right.
I am not a napper.
Right. And it's working.
Mm-hmm. You're 8 times more likely to follow through with something by saying you don't do it than to say that you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Oh, I can't nap today. No, you totally can.
Right.
But you don't.
I don't. I'm not a napper.
No, you're not.
Not a napper. So, yeah, I'm not going to nap, but there are so many things that we can get done around here. And
it was supposed to rain all weekend, so I originally think that's why we didn't make any plans.
I think so.
Including hiking.
Including hiking, yeah.
Well, now, if it doesn't rain tomorrow, we may have no other choice.
We may have to hike.
We may have to.
Doggone it.
Why? Because I am a hiker.
Right. You am. You am. We had a heck of a week. I want to share with everybody one of the coolest experiences that we've ever had.
Do it.
We were invited by Tommy Self, a good friend of ours, to attend an event his company, Thrivent, held down at City Park Stadium, where the St. Louis City SC plays soccer.
Let's go.
And it was to benefit LifeWise STL,
yeah,
an amazing organization that's been serving St. Louis for well over 100 years.
Mm-hmm, 121. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
wow,
fantastic.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, 121.
Yeah, I can't
wait. 1 year longer than Thrivent has been around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Very cool. I'm really looking forward to learning more about LifeWise and how I might be able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be sitting down with the president there soon. So very cool experience. And then we got to go to the Pitch Club, which is very fancy.
Super fancy.
And that was a lot of fun. And then we actually got to go out on the pitch.
We did. That was impressive. Now, we didn't go onto the field, actually, where they play. That
no,
was roped off.
It's sacred. They don't let you on the grass.
But we were right
on the
there
lines.
On
yeah.
the sidelines.
And for those who
Super
don't know
cool.
soccer, the pitch is soccer vernacular for the field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we got to go down there. We got to take some pictures. We got to sit in the fancy player seats.
Yeah.
We got to see they have seats there that I didn't even know about until this event.
Yeah.
That are right on the sidelines, and the tickets are upwards of $900 a piece.
One day.
But you are on the field.
One day. One
How
day.
Cool is that?
I want to sit there.
That would be kind of cool.
It would
That'd
be.
That'd be a very cool experience.
Yeah.
And then we were lucky enough to have a guided tour through the entire stadium while nobody else was there, which was really neat.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Got to see a little bit about, you know, how the stadium runs. What do they call that? What's that phrase? How the donuts get made or something like that. Anyway, we got to see behind the curtain, which
was
very cool.
It was
And got
cool.
to see the different areas that are there, the fancy places, learn more about the stadium itself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of geeks for the stadium. Our son Zach worked down at the stadium when they were building it, which was super fun. So every time I look at the lights, I know that my son had a part to do in that.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
It's very cool.
But what a great event. And what a neat way to meet some people from St. Louis. We saw some old friends there.
We did. It was a fantastic time.
Just a wonderful time. So we were really thankful and we felt blessed to be able to take part in that.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Thrivent and LifeWise STL.
Absolutely. So that was kind of the highlight of the week.
It was indeed.
Other than my very good friend John had a birthday.
He did. Happy birthday, John.
And that was fun to be able to celebrate with him. And then you got not one, But Dose hikes in this week.
I did. Hiked with Laura Lori, who's a neighbor in our good hood.
Nice.
She is now a hiker.
Oh, you've done it.
Introduced her to the term forest bathing, which when I saw that article come across my desk, I'm like, what am I going to go like take a shower in a waterfall in
so
the middle
hippie.
Of... I know. It's actually
man.
A concept out of Japan where you use all five senses when you are in nature.
So
it's
sight,
relaxing,
sound,
and
touch.
Yeah.
Taste.
Smell.
Hold on. There's taste. What'd you eat?
I don't know. I didn't eat. I ate the air that entered my mouth. I don't know. But yeah, taste. It's a very cool
tree.
Concept.
I licked a tree.
I have hugged a tree before.
I know. Well, I geek out over little sapling evergreen trees. Mm-hmm. I call them babies,
yeah,
and I talk to them.
Yeah, you do. When
I love them.
And they're like hip high level.
Like,
you're
hi, babies.
Like, hey, babies. Hey,
I'm
you
sorry.
Put your hands on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So forest bathing. That does
forest
sound.
Forest bathing. Look it up. Google
very
it,
hippie.
Everybody. There's actually
like
a book
it.
About
oh,
it.
I'm not
but
shocked.
When I saw the article come across, I'm like, yes, this is exactly why I feel rejuvenated, like alive when I spend
really?
Time in nature. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And Laura's even sleeping better, and she's telling me, like, hey, when can we go next? So I've made her into a hiker, and she's loving every step of it.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I kicked my own butt doing a hike at Pierre Marquette State Park. Got everything done for the week, had a very productive week, had everything checked off the list, and decided I'm going to go celebrate.
Yeah.
My kick butt week by kicking my own butt. And sure enough, I did.
Yeah.
6 miles of massive hills, and I am feeling it today.
Well, we are also dog sitting our grand dog.
We are.
Yeah. And let's just say that Sandy and Coco.
This is a different grand dog than Lola, who you all have met previously.
This is Gummy, and Gummy is 50 pounds.
Part Shepherd.
Part mm-hmm. Shepherd.
She's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous girl. Mm-hmm. And she has no off button. We thought Sandy had no off button.
Right.
But this dog doesn't even nap.
No.
And she is go, 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 go. And Sandy and Coco have been tolerant. Coco probably more than Sandy, because Coco's never been very vocal, but she's been growling a little bit, going, hey, leave me alone.
Yeah, she's been spending a lot more time under the covers in our bed.
Yeah, she's hiding. But you took Sandy on your hike yesterday because we felt like Sandy was getting ready to have a mental break.
I think
and needed.
So. I've never gone hiking with one dog
just
and
one
not
dog.
The other, but Coco pulls so much that to have both dogs would not have made for a fun hike
right.
for me. So
well,
Sandy and I took off. Poor Coco. I felt so bad.
She did not mind. She napped the day away.
Okay.
She was like, okay, you guys be good. I'll be here. But Sandy needed the mental break to get
she
away
did.
From Gummy for a little bit.
So I kicked her butt too.
Yeah. So that's our week. We had a heck of a week.
Heck of
Hope
a
you
great
had a heck of a week,
week
too, neighbors.
I don't know what we're going to do this weekend, but whatever we do, I'm sure it will make us happy.
I know. Well, you know what's going to make us happy right now?
What?
Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Well, welcome, 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 neighbors, to the good all around us. I'm Chris Lay.
And I'm Deanna Lay.
And it is our joy, our mission to
happy up your life.
Before we can get into the story today, Deanna's got some stuff to share with you, so take it away, Dee.
Okay. Well, neighbors, I do have a few things to share. We are recording this in our home. Now, our two dogs are quietly sleeping the day away on their comforter right
good
here
girls.
In our happy place.
Good girl.
If you hear barking in the background.
Oh, I do.
That would be Gummy.
Yep.
She is in her kennel and is not so happy about it, it sounds like. So the cats are locked out. She's locked in her kennel. We may not be pet noise free, so just bear
as
with us.
As close as humanly possible.
That's right. But we're going to keep going anyway. Second, we are storytellers. The stories we share each week are researched thoroughly. We do this using the
interwebs.
We try to use numerous sources so we can bring you the best details each and every time. Then we compile that research into stories that we tell in our own words to share with each other and all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Chris is the host with the most.
Dun,
and
da, da, da.
I am hearing his story for the very first time ever.
Just like you.
So if some things in the story are omitted or incorrect, or some of the details from the background are off, or if we say something off the cuff that just isn't quite right, for that, we do sincerely apologize. We try our best to be as precise as possible, but please don't email us or give us a bad review for being human. We're doing our very best to bring you
the finest stories from around the globe.
But that's right.
I had to tone it down because I didn't want to make her bark again.
Right. Yeah. If she hears us, she'll think that we're here, and then she won't. With all of that being said, let's do this. It's time to happy up your life, neighbors. Take it away, Chris Lay.
Thank you, my love.
You're so very welcome.
Well, Deanna, I believe I have a doozy of a story for you today.
Oh, he's setting expectation, friends.
However, in order to talk about the good in this story, we have to start with the opposite.
Ooh.
Yeah.
One of those. Okay.
While this isn't typically how we start stories here, what I'm about to share truly sets the stage.
Okay.
So I'm taking you in the Wayback Machine.
Okay.
To October of 1994.
94.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we don't have to go very far because this story takes place in St. Louis, Missouri.
Come on. 2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks in a row.
Look at look at us. We're really saving some travel money. We're banking it. Banking
because
the money.
You never know. We could be in Bangkok next week.
Banking it for Bangkok.
Yeah. We should get shirts made. Let's get the band together. All right. So on October 30th, 1994, Marcus Boyd of St. Louis was shot to death by two men in ski masks who ran up on him and murdered him on his front porch.
Ooh.
A witness to this described the incident and was questioned by detectives and asked to view a lineup and even volunteered some names of people he knew that knew the deceased.
Okay.
Okay. One of those names was Lamar Johnson. Lamar was brought in for questioning, as anyone would, who was thrown into that. Lamar volunteered information with detectives. He shared that he was not there that night, where he was at the time, who he was with, and that he would never harm his good friend. He had a very solid alibi because he and Marcus were good friends.
Awesome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But unsatisfied with their results and with no physical evidence to the murder, the lead detectives pressed on the eyewitness. Now we're going to pause for a second, because I have to talk about the eyewitness.
Okay.
His name is Greg Elking. And Elking stated to police that he was there that night to purchase crack cocaine from Boyd. Mm. When two masked men came running around the house and shot Boyd. So police knew that he was there for a drug transaction.
Gotcha.
So they had something hanging over him.
Yeah.
While questioning Elking, he stated that the men were wearing ski masks, black ski masks, over their face, and the only thing he could see was their eyes. And even with that, he still couldn't describe those.
Okay.
All right. Now, he states that it was at that point he was pressured into identifying someone.
Mm.
That was when the detective suggested a lineup. And a lineup that would include a suspect that they wanted for this. And that suspect was Lamar Johnson.
Mm.
Lamar willingly attended the lineup because he knew that at the time of Boyd's murder, he was across town at a friend's house with his girlfriend. He also knew that he was devastated when he found out that his friend Marcus Boyd had been murdered. However, pressed by detectives, Elking picked Lamar out of the lineup as one of the two men.
Just going off of eyes behind a ski mask.
Yes.
Hmm.
You know, Lamar was astonished that this happened, knowing all along that he wasn't there, couldn't have done this, and wouldn't have done this. Marcus was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Devastated, Lamar was arrested for the murder of Marcus Boyd. Now, another man, Phil Campbell, was arrested for the murder as well, and I'm going to share more on him later.
Okay.
Okay. Now, with the two arrested for the murder, prosecution took over to get justice for Marcus Boyd. Lamar, maintaining his innocence, was offered a deal to reduce his sentence, as often happens.
Mm-hmm.
However, knowing that he didn't do this, he refused to take the plea deal. His case would go to trial.
Okay.
Now, Lamar wasn't exactly an angel. Let's just be really clear. He was a drug dealer himself. He and Marcus were supposedly partners had had a falling out over some money issues.
Okay.
But were still friends. They just weren't working together.
Okay.
And he admitted as such in his testimony of the night in question. He was very transparent. While he was with his girlfriend the entire evening, there was only a five-minute period where both of them agreed he left the house and he was apart while he transacted a drug deal. So the only time they were away from each other was 5 minutes.
Okay.
And their stories lined up.
Yeah.
He admitted to this because that 5 minutes would never have even been close enough time to travel miles away, commit the murder, and return. Mm-hmm. And in addition to this instance, he had been arrested. And this is where it starts to come in that maybe the police were trying to get him.
Okay.
He had been arrested on suspicion of 3 other instances where murder occurred, but according to prosecutors at the time, was not convicted because witnesses refused to testify.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So they had their eye on him, for lack of a better term.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you often talk to police, they will say there's very few coincidences.
Mm.
Right? But Lamar maintained he was innocent of killing Marcus Boyd.
Yeah, just hearing what you're saying, it doesn't even sound feasible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the prosecution at this point stated that the murder of Boyd was committed by Lamar because of a dispute over a drug deal, a dispute that they stated was over $40.
Mm.
And again, where they came up with this arbitrary number, nobody to this day knows.
Oh, really?
Right. Jeez. It's almost as if the number was chosen to be so low to make it look like it was just a heinous crime.
Okay. Right? Gotcha.
Armed with their eyewitness, the knowledge of Lamar's lifestyle and dealings, a jailhouse informant named William Mock, who overheard a supposed conversation between Lamar and Campbell, where one of them said, "We should have shot that white boy too," and no other evidence, and the white boy they're referring to is Greg Elking.
Okay.
And no other evidence, Lamar was found guilty of the murder of Marcus Boyd.
Jeez.
He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Wow. Okay.
The year was 1995. Now, the other defendant, told you I'm going to come back to him,
mm-hmm.
Phil Campbell, he took a guilty plea deal to get only 7 years in prison.
Hmm.
Again, I'm going to have more on him later, so hang in there.
Okay.
Now, sentenced, Lamar started his time, all along maintaining his innocence. Appeal after appeal, request after request, all of them denied. Time and again, Lamar's plea to be heard was shot down.
Hmm.
We have to fast forward now to 2019.
Okay.
The prosecutor's office in St. Louis established the Conviction Integrity Unit.
Hmm. Okay.
And the purpose of the Conviction Integrity Unit was to review previous cases that could have been possibly wrongful convictions.
Oh, huh.
And again, I know there's some turmoil going on in St. Louis right now with everything around our current prosecutor, Kim Gardner. But one of the amazing things that she did do was set up the Conviction Integrity Unit.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Designed to try to look back at convictions that had taken place in the city of St. Louis
mm-hmm.
and look for things that were wrongfully committed.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Lamar Johnson's case caught their eye, and they decided to investigate.
Oh, wow.
During their investigation, they concluded that there appeared to be some serious prosecutorial misconduct in the case, as well as what they considered unconstitutional police practices.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Among the issues they discovered were these. Greg Elking, who had been convicted of bank robbery after all of this occurred and had done his time, had also recanted his testimony.
Oh.
Stating that he had been pressured and bullied, air quotes, by police. There was also evidence that Elking was possibly compensated in the amount of $4,000 for his testimony.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah. In addition, he stated that he only saw the suspect's eyes that night, and there was no way that he could have identified them in the dark. And the police later told him Lamar was the one he saw. They convinced him of that. In addition, he had identified someone else initially in the picture lineup multiple times.
Oops.
But, again, was convinced by detectives that he had actually seen Lamar, and when Lamar arrived at the station, was told, that's the guy. Now, as for the jailhouse witness, William Mock.
Yeah.
And I don't know, neighbors, or Deanna, I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of these jailhouse witnesses are pretty much doing it only to see what they can get for themselves.
Right, right,
and
right.
They'll say just about
what
anything.
What else do they have to lose?
Right. So William Mock, it was found that Mock had received preferential treatment in a case against him in Kansas City prior to his testimony against Lamar and Campbell when he testified in their case.
Mm.
He was seeking that same preferential treatment with the testimony in Lamar and Campbell's case because, hey, if it had worked before, it might work again.
Yeah.
So make up, say whatever you need to say, see what you can get.
Yeah.
There's another twist. Campbell, who actually died previously, was implicated by a man who admitted that it was him and Campbell who committed the murder because they had planned to rob Marcus Boyd for drugs and cash. That man's name is James Howard. And get this, both Howard and Campbell had, years before, signed affidavits admitting to the crime and claiming that Lamar was not involved in any way.
Where was that? Where did that go?
Exactly.
Oh, geez.
Exactly.
Yikes.
Now, with all this new information, they attempted to request a new trial before the Missouri Supreme Court for Lamar in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But it was denied yet again due to a law that prevented a prosecutor's office from bringing a case for reversal solely by themselves.
Oh.
There was actual law in place that said, hey, a prosecutor can't go back and undo previous prosecutions.
Right, considering it was their office that did the prosecuting
ding,
in the
ding,
first
ding,
place.
Ding, ding.
Okay, yikes.
So in stepped two private law firms, the Innocence Project and the St. Louis Prosecutor's Office to change the law. They did this by getting the attention of lawmakers about Lamar's case, and a brand new law was adopted that allows prosecutors to petition a court to exonerate prisoners they deemed wrongfully convicted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So before I go on, I wanted to share a little bit about the Innocence Project.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like them or not, I'm just going to go into this and I'm going to tell you that they've done some pretty amazing things. Okay?
Okay.
And the reason I say like them or not is, well, you'll see it in a second. I'll share it to you. The Innocence Project is a nonprofit legal organization that works to exonerate wrongfully convicted individuals through DNA testing and other evidence-based methods.
Right.
Founded in 1992 by lawyers Barry Scheck and Peter Neufeld, the Innocence Project has since helped free over 200 people who were wrongfully convicted of crimes they did not commit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're controversial is Barry Scheck did defend O.J. Simpson.
Okay.
He was on that team, mm-hmm. right? However, it does not negate any of the great work that they've done.
Right.
And again, O.J. was acquitted, so hey, there you go. Whether you believe it or not.
There you go.
The Innocence Project.
That's a whole different podcast.
We're not doing an OJ episode.
No.
The Innocence Project's mission is to use DNA testing to free those who have been wrongfully convicted and to reform the criminal justice system to prevent wrongful convictions.
Yeah. Science has come so far in such a short period of time.
Absolutely.
That I'm so glad they exist.
Well, and they're not just going in and saying, hey, we're going to free people due to with DNA. That's one thing that's amazing.
Yeah,
but they're also really working for reform in the criminal justice system that, you know, obviously is needed.
Yeah, years and, I mean, decades and decades.
Yeah, through their work, I mean, they have shed light on the flaws and the biases within the system and have really helped to create a more positive change. They truly have. And the Innocence Project uses a multidisciplinary approach to investigate cases of wrongful conviction. They work with lawyers, scientists, and other professionals to uncover new evidence, retest old evidence, and examine the details in each case to determine whether a conviction was based on faulty evidence, misconduct, or other factors.
Yep, makes sense.
And in many cases, the Innocence Project has used DNA testing to exonerate individuals who were convicted of crimes before DNA technology was available.
Yep, exactly.
So as long as the sample has not degenerated, they have something they're able to go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And the testing has proven to be a powerful tool in revealing the truth about what happened in a particular case and has led to the release of many innocent individuals who were wrongfully convicted. Mm-hmm.
And they're nationwide, right?
Yes. So they have different divisions. Yeah. The Midwest Innocent Project stepped in on this one.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And the Innocent Project's work has also led to important reforms within the justice system. They have advocated for changes to eyewitness identification procedures.
Yes.
I'm going to talk about that for a second here when I get done with this. Improve training for law enforcement and prosecutors and the use of scientific evidence in the courtroom. Mm. And these reforms have helped to prevent future wrongful convictions and have made the criminal justice system more fair and just.
I love it.
And the Innocence Project is a beacon of hope for those who have been wrongfully convicted and their families. Through their tireless efforts, they have given a voice to those who were wrongly silenced and have helped to bring a better, more just society.
Mm. So important.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess in conclusion, the Innocence Project is a really vital organization that plays an important role in our criminal justice system. By advocating for reform, using DNA, exposing the flaws and biases in the system, they have really done an incredible job to bring fairness, integrity, and compassion to our legal system. Mm-hmm. And their impact is going to be felt for years and years to come.
I hope so.
And to date, 375 people in the U.S. have been exonerated by DNA testing,
okay,
including 21 who were serving time on death row.
Whoa.
Exactly. And wow. I want to share this about eyewitnesses, since we're kind of on the – I mentioned it before and we're on the subject. There's a lot of evidence, and even in some of these other books that I've read and things that I've seen, there's a lot of, I guess, what you would call evidence, yeah, mm-hmm, lack of a better term, that states that oftentimes eyewitnesses, unless they are truly a witness to the situation and not involved in the trauma/chaos of the system situation, are more reputable. Those who are involved in the trauma/chaos, like Greg Elking,
right,
who's there buying crack.
Who doesn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, who's buying crack and he's standing there when the guy gets shot.
Yeah.
You know, obviously in the midst of the chaos, it's very difficult for somebody in that situation to be able to recall real solid eyewitness testimony. Yeah. So they've worked hard to explain that, hey, PTSD is real. Mm-hmm. And it comes in different forms and it comes to different people in different ways. Mm-hmm. And sometimes eyewitnesses will say whatever they need to say to get out of trouble, to remove themselves from the situation,
yeah,
to move the ball along, or if they happen to be pressured.
Right. I'd be the worst eyewitness. I hope I never have to be put in that situation because I don't have an eye for details. And if I was pressured into saying something in a certain way, I'd be like, I literally have no clue because it's too hard for me, even if I'm not involved in a situation. Like, I've seen accidents happen and, you know, what my brain makes up, is that real or did it really happen? I don't know. So I can see why eyewitness statements in all sorts of ways come, aren't the best off of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen to some different podcasts, and there's one in particular where they talk about these kinds of things. And they clearly state that even with an eyewitness who's not necessarily in trouble, they will sometimes keep them and interrogate them for hours. I'm talking 8, 9, 10 hours. And that mentally wears people out. Now, you're also talking about somebody who was on drugs.
Yeah.
Greg Elking, who was obviously trying to score crack, right?
Yeah.
So who knows what his mental state was during all this.
Jeez.
And of course, they were probably holding the crack buying over his head. Mm-hmm. Hey, we know you're a druggie. We mm-hmm. know you're into drugs. You know, you don't want to get in trouble, do you? You want to help these people, don't you? Say the right thing.
Well, you don't know if that's what was said, but.
Well, there's some testimony that says that they said those things like, you don't want to get in trouble, do you? Say the right thing. Get these people off the street.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Now back to Lamar. In December of 2022, his retrial was finally about to occur.
Oh my gosh, 2022.
Yes.
Holy cow.
So at this trial, Elkin recanted under oath and stated that he was haunted by what he had done and reiterated that he only did it because there was pressure placed on him.
Haunted? Then step up.
Well, he had. He had recanted years before and on deaf ears.
Okay, well.
Elkins' picking of Lamar from the lineup was completely scrutinized, especially due to the fact that the murderers both wore black ski masks.
Ridiculous.
And the only thing he could have seen on the men were their eyes in the dark in a moment of chaos. Oh, and he was there to buy crack.
Right.
So
yes.
What state of mind was he possibly in? The testimony of William Mock was diminished with the knowledge that he had testified before to get a reduced sentence and did so in Lamar's case, hoping for the same outcome.
Gosh.
So, and the prosecutor at the time said that his prosecution of Lamar was iffy without Mock's testimony.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is also a cautionary tale to jurors who might be hearing this. Don't necessarily look at a jailhouse snitch and think that they're being honest unless you know what they're getting out of the deal.
Yeah. Which hopefully you can have all of that information.
Well, unfortunately, they don't have to tell until after the trial.
What?
I know. There's some changes that are coming.
Jeez.
Finally, and I think this is it. This is the easy one right here. Ready?
Okay.
The actual murderer, James Howard, testified that he and Campbell had committed the murders. Their previous affidavits were also brought to light at the trial. So these two men signed affidavits saying that they did it. Lamar Johnson wasn't there. They weren't pressured into saying Lamar Johnson wasn't there. Lamar Johnson wasn't there. We did it. We went to kill him and steal his money and his drugs.
I mean, that alone should be enough, right?
You would think. I mean, honestly, you would think that those kinds of things would be like, okay, we at least need to reopen an investigation.
Yeah.
And we really need to run this down.
No.
And here's the funny thing.
Too many people would get in trouble.
In the original affidavit, James Howard told exactly how he shot Marcus Boyd, and it matched up perfectly with how Marcus Boyd was shot.
Jeez.
So there was no way, and this was an information that they had disseminated to the public.
Of course not.
Yeah. So at the trial, both the detective and the former prosecutor stood by their case against Lamar, as is expected, even with all the evidence and affidavits by the actual murders. However, they did admit under oath that there was absolutely 100% no physical evidence, no gun, no fingerprints, no DNA, no nothing to connect Lamar Johnson to this murder. It was all done on witness testimony and hearsay.
Uncool.
Yeah.
Not okay.
Judge David Mason heard all the evidence. And on February 14th, 2023, he announced the exoneration of Lamar Johnson, now 50 years old,
right,
in connection with the murder of
later.
Marcus Boyd. Yep.
Mm.
Among hugs, tears, and celebration, he is now a free man. Lamar Johnson was free at last after 28 years in prison for a murder he didn't commit. Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm speechless right now.
Well, Deanna and our neighbors, that isn't even the story I'm telling today. That just sets it all up.
I know you said you had to tell the opposite to get to the good. So, I mean, very interesting and eye-opening. And I hope that brings awareness to what's been going on in our world. So thank you for doing that.
All right. Perfect. Well,
Let's hear the good.
Deanna, the art of letter writing has been around for centuries.
Wait, is this the same podcast?
Yes, it has. It is. And has served as a means of communication between individuals separated by long distances.
Yeah, when we did our pen pal.
We've talked about this before.
We have.
Here on The Good All Around Us. The tradition of writing letters to pen pals was common practice in the early 90s.
It was.
Yes. Students actually were assigned to write letters to a pen pal from another school. We've talked about this. Yeah. I got dissed. You got correspondence. I don't want to go back down that road.
And I did it with my kiddos in my class.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I was teaching.
And it was an exciting experience to build a connection with someone through letter writing.
Mm-hmm.
However, the advent of social media has replaced the traditional method of letter writing.
Wah, wah.
And most people have stopped writing letters. Well, about two decades ago, well before social media, Jenny Schrappen, a volunteer at her church, was approached by a deacon who told her there was an inmate that had written the church in hopes that someone, anyone, would write back.
Okay.
Lamar was that person, and he was throwing out a lifeline, literally, to anyone.
Wow.
Now, as she read this, she realized that others may have been turned off by the crime for which Lamar was imprisoned, which was, of course, murder.
Right.
But Ginny was not afraid to connect with him through letters. According to CBS Evening News, Ginny figured, he's not going to come and get me.
Yeah.
Because he's in life. He's in prison for life with no parole. Mm-hmm. She believed that Lamar was incarcerated and expected him to remain there for the rest of his natural life. So she felt safe to connect with him through letter writing.
Mm-hmm.
And Ginny was convinced that being a pen pal to Johnson would be a rewarding experience.
Yeah.
And she was right.
Aw.
As she got to know Lamar better through their correspondence, she became more convinced that he could not have committed the crime for which he was imprisoned.
Wow.
And her intuition obviously proved correct when Lamar was exonerated 28 years later.
Wow.
Okay. And Lamar's story, Deanna, is a testimony to the power of belief and support. Having someone who believes in you can make a significant difference in your life.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially in difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone is wrongfully accused or in prison, they often feel alone and helpless.
Yeah.
Because, again, their pleas are falling on deaf ears. But having someone who believes in them and is willing to fight for their rights can make all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lamar shared this, especially when somebody is innocent. You want someone to believe in you.
Yeah.
Because when you have people that believe in you and they won't give up on you, then it makes it harder for you to give up on yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Well, Ginny, yeah, it's beautiful. Ginny's decision to become a pen pal to Lamar was an act of kindness that changed his life and hers.
Mm.
She believed in him and never gave up on him, even when others had written him off as completely guilty. Her belief in him was a source of strength and encouragement and inspired him to keep fighting for his freedom. And her act of kindness also shows that we can all make a difference in someone's life by being kind and believing in them.
Yeah, for sure.
Ginny was at every trial.
Oh, wow.
Ginny was there time and again for Lamar. She knew her friend was innocent and was willing to see it through, even testifying to her relationship and her knowledge of the man she called her friend.
Oh. And you said they'd been corresponding for almost his whole sentence. Okay.
20 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
This 80-year-old retired teacher and grandma finally got the moment she had always hoped for when Lamar, now free, came to her home so they could finally meet in person.
Oh, how sweet. Yeah.
They hugged each other. She kissed her friend's cheek. Tears flowed. But of course, they were tears of joy.
Yeah.
And now these friends can meet regularly, face to face, and on equal footing.
Yeah.
When Lamar was asked about his feelings of being incarcerated for this crime, he shared, "If you hold on to anger, you're just going to swap one prison for another."
Ooh.
As much as there was a lot of setbacks over the years, there is also a lot to be happy and grateful for.
Dang, that was fire.
Yeah.
That was, wow.
And as for Ginny, she shared these very enlightening words. Reach out to somebody that might need a friend.
Mm.
It could mean more than you know.
Yay. Oh, I have tears like running down my cheeks. Wow. I can't even wrap my brain around that story, Chris. Just the way you told it, the beginning, the middle, and the end of it. That was like out of nowhere. What an incredible everything. Everything about it's incredible.
Well, you know, as I read this story and I did some research, there's not a lot. There's a lot of news agencies, I think, that covered Lamar.
Right.
Not a lot that covered the pen pal aspect.
Yeah, the good.
The good, of course. Well, there's good in his exoneration, absolutely.
Of course.
But it is heartbreaking to think, and again, I know this happens, and you can't expect a perfect system.
Right.
This isn't a Minority Report where they stop crimes before they happen, right? You can't expect a perfect system, but you can expect that somehow, some way we can improve and start to look at our justice system in a way that allows for people to truly get the right evidence in place to exonerate or convict. I mean, we have to convict.
A fair trial.
Absolutely, right to a fair trial. We have to convict those who have done the crimes. 100%. I totally agree. Yeah. We can't have a lawless society, and we can't believe that everyone is innocent because, quite frankly, not everyone is innocent.
Right.
We also can't convict people based upon really flimsy evidence and their previous character. Mm-hmm. You know, even though Lamar had been a drug dealer and admitted to it.
Right.
Even though he had been implicated in other violent crimes but never convicted.
Yeah.
You can't just, as a law enforcement individual or somebody in the justice system, look at them and say, okay, well, they did it because, look, we're going to get them finally.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened, is like, oh, we've been trying to get this guy and this is our chance.
Right. And and even if – and again, regardless of what had gone on in the past, he was completely innocent of this. We have people that admitted to it.
Right.
That did it with great detail.
I'm just so sad it took almost 30 years.
And I am sad that it took 30 years. I'm impressed that, again, they started this program with the prosecutor's office because it needed to be done.
Yeah.
And it's been done in other cities and other states. Mm-hmm. This wasn't groundbreaking, but it was definitely needed. I'm also impressed that the lawmakers stepped up almost immediately upon hearing how this worked against Lamar and changed the law.
Yeah.
Okay. Because in the end of the day, we don't want individuals incarcerated for things they have not committed. That serves nobody.
Of course.
And it destroys that person and their family.
Yeah.
You know? One of the great things about this story, as I continued reading on, Lamar had a daughter.
Okay.
And on April 21st of this year, he was able to walk her down the aisle.
What? Chris Lay, what are you doing to me, friend?
And it's because of people like Jenny.
Yeah.
Like our prosecutor's office, like the people at the Innocence Project who stood up and fought for him.
Yeah.
But even more than that, Deanna, it's because of Lamar.
Yeah.
Standing up and fighting for himself. He never gave up. Years. Yep.
Wow.
I wish him the best. I wish him a wonderful life. I wish him freedom and joy. I wish him love.
Yeah.
I wish him the ability to move beyond what had happened to him.
Yeah.
And move into what could happen.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to see this happen to an innocent man.
Yeah.
And Lamar, if you ever hear this, you know, you get a chance to check it out. I'm proud of you for not giving up on you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of Jenny for not giving up on you. And I'm proud to know that you're a fellow St. Louisan along with us.
Right. Yep.
So.
Thanks, Chris. I'm a teary-eyed mess, but what an ending to a tough beginning.
Yeah, definitely a lot of good there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, neighbors, if this good was good for you, was it good for you?
It was good. Yeah.
Help us out. Click that purple icon. Give us that 5-star rating. We'll read your reviews on the air. We would love to do that. That's if you're an Apple user.
Yep.
If you're an Android user, you can go to our website, thegoodallaroundus.com. Mm-hmm. And there, what do they do, Deanna?
You just click on the Podchaser icon, which is one of our listening platforms. There's a whole bunch of ways to listen.
Yeah, tons of them.
As a reminder, you can play The Good All Around Us actually through your Amazon account.
That's right.
Yeah, if you have an Alexa or if you have it on your TV.
Yep.
You can play The Good All Around Us as you're going about your day.
Are you trying to tell me that you could literally be surrounded by the good?
You can in all sorts of ways, on all sorts of platforms. But yeah, on Podchaser for sure. If you're an Android user, you can leave a 5-star review and write a comment.
So yeah.
Let's do that.
And then you can join our neighborhood. You can become a neighbor in our good hood by clicking on the Patreon link.
Mm-hmm. That's right there in the website too. So go ahead and do that. You can join at the $1 a month level, the $5 or the $10 a month level, and that gives us the ability to keep putting out the good into the stratosphere.
Yep, and when you subscribe, you get the good in your pocket every Monday.
Mm-hmm, you sure do. If you're a neighbor in our good hood, you actually get it early, so that's one of the benefits.
Right on, sure. Right on.
But, oh my gosh, Chris, what? It's going to take me a little bit for this story to settle in,
yeah,
for me to wrap my brain around it, but there's a I can't wait to see what he does with the rest of his life.
Yeah. It'd be fun to know. Yeah. It would be fun to know. But regardless, he's free.
He is free.
Gotta love that.
Thank you so much for bringing this to us. Well, you know what we do from here, friends.
That's right, neighbors. It's been our joy, our mission to
happy up your life.
And we can't thank you enough for joining us each and every week right here on The Good All Around Us. Bye, everyone.
Have a good day.